Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
It's 6:07 here this Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us. Busy, busy day already. Larry O'Connor with Julie Gunlock waking you up this morning and getting your day going. It's 6:35. Andrew Kerr, investigative reporter at the Washington Examiner, has new revelations about Hunter Biden that involve his father Joe and his father Joe's money. 7:05, Alexander DeSantis from National Review has a brand new book with Ryan Anderson. It's called Tearing Us Apart, How Abortion Harms Everything and Solves Nothing. Good timing on that book, publishers. 7:35, Robin Ficker running for governor in Maryland. 7:45, Ken Klukowski, our friend, frequent guest on this program. He worked in the Trump Department of Justice and now finds himself a part of the January 6th committee evidence, and he's pushing back big time. At 8:05, Jeremy Dice, First Liberty Institute, represented that coach in the Supreme Court who had a winning day yesterday. 8:15, Miranda Devine, The New York Post, broke the laptop from hell story. And at 8:35, Rebecca Kessling, pro-life advocate. She was actually the daughter of a rape incident, the product of a rape, and she wants to tell her story since she, without her name, is being used and held up as sort of the oh, what do you say to a young woman who's been raped? How dare you make them carry that child to term? So you have to look Rebecca in the eyes and say you have no business being alive. So I'm looking forward to hearing her story, Julie. And let's get to it. There's even more here. There's so much hysteria and so many lies and so much evil coming out of the left. I got to say, if there's one thing about overturning Roe, I knew that it would be a great day when Roe v. Wade, first of all, just on a basic constitutional, legal, law, precedent, jurisprudence, you know, security of our Constitution basis, it was a great day because that Roe v. Wade decision had no business ever being made. It was such an abomination.
Yep.
In and of itself. So even taking away what it did with regard to abortions and the death of the babies and protecting the life of babies and all of those things, the fact that it was just horrific law that was based on, I mean, even Ruth Bader Ginsburg alluded to that
yes,
it was, you
know, it weakened our Constitution. It weakened our country.
Yes. So we knew that would be a fine fallout from this. But there's a lot of benefit of getting rid of Roe v. Wade. I didn't expect the one residual benefit that we're seeing right now, which is it has made the left in this country, and Democrats in particular in elected office, reveal and expose how incredibly stupid and evil they are. Yeah. I'm talking about elected officials here, not your Aunt Sally, who's always voted Democrat because they loved John F. Kennedy growing up. No, I'm talking about these people right now who are in elected office, who use this issue to divide. They lie to their voters and to their base. And let's start with this lie about ectopic pregnancies.
Oh, I can't even.
I've seen it everywhere. Well, I need
you. Let me just take some deep breaths.
You have the benefit of having fallopian tubes. I also
have perspective here. I have had miscarriages. I have had procedures post-miscarriage. And what they are saying online, what these people are saying, the lies to women is so dangerous. Well, it's horrible. It's horrible. And it's really painful for women like me, but it's also very dangerous what they're saying, the misinformation they're feeding women.
Here's the misinformation they're telling you. An ectopic pregnancy, by the way, is a pregnancy where the fertilized egg implants in the side of the fallopian tube instead of in the wall of the uterus, correct? Am I getting that right?
Yes, that is absolutely correct. Right.
And it's a very dangerous thing because the fallopian tube is not designed to expand in the way the uterus does. Yes. And it can rupture and it can kill a woman.
Yes,
right?
it can kill you. Yes.
And by the way, all pro-life advocates, and I mean every pro-life advocate, has always maintained that a medical procedure to protect a woman from being killed that may result in the
Vatican also says if you need treatment for an ectopic pregnancy, you are not you're not getting an abortion.
Because the intention is not to kill a child and end that life. The intention
But also it's important to understand that the baby will also die.
Right. That's not going to be a viable
pregnancy.
And let's
be clear, when we talk about ectopic pregnancy, the egg implants in the fallopian tube. It's not right. like eventually going to make its way down into the womb.
Right. It's
it literally
forever.
Is stuck.
Right.
Yeah.
And so again, literally, and I mean literally, you will not find a pro-life advocate or anyone who opposed Roe v.
Yeah.
Wade who wants a woman to carry an ectopic pregnancy full term.
And again, ever. It's important to say that this isn't like, okay, the life of the mother is at risk, and then it's really that the mom felt stress.
Yeah.
Because they will use that.
Of course.
This is not like, okay, the mother's in life. The mother will die, and so will the baby.
Right. And one other thing that needs to be pointed out, this is not a pregnancy.
Right.
It is not a pregnancy.
It's not a viable pregnancy.
No, that this is not a baby that is going to be born or is going to grow. That's just not the case. All right, so we got that out of the way. Because the left is now terrifying people, terrifying women who may not know any better, in saying, oh, well, now women with ectopic pregnancies don't know what to do because they think they're going to be violating the law in any of these states that had trigger laws that violated.
Not only that, but they may be telling women who are very, you know, for what, you know, very religious or have personal, you know, beliefs that where they are against abortion, who then say, oh, I didn't know. Now, I will be honest with you. When I, you know, I had miscarriages and I also had an ectopic pregnancy, and I also worried about this. I did because I didn't really know and I didn't mm-hmm. understand, and I had to research it and you know talk to my priest and talk to other people, and I you know was reassured. But I, you know, look, I was you know an educated woman, and I had questions, and so these lies have the potential to make women think, okay, I'm either going against the law, or I'm making a terrible moral choice,
right? And that's or I'm not, going to or I should just let myself die.
Yes.
I should let myself have this horrific.
Yes.
And then there's these lies that doctors don't know what to do. You know, woman comes in, she's about to have a bursting ectopic pregnancy, and she's going to have internal bleeding.
Yep.
And the doctor's like, well, my hands are tied. I'm not sure
illegal.
What I can do. Any doctor who doesn't know the difference in distinction should lose their license based on their stupidity.
Okay, so.
All right, if I know this, a doctor should know this.
The treatment for a miscarriage and the treatment for an ectopic pregnancy are coded separately, have different codes in the hospital when they do the billing. Mm. They're not even coded the same. So if you're going to suggest that, because this is what they're saying, that women who go in for treatment after a miscarriage, and because sometimes after a miscarriage, after you expel a growing baby, after your body rejects it for one reason or the other, sometimes you need to have a procedure in order to rid things in your womb.
Yeah.
And that procedure.
And it's not the same as an abortion.
It's not the same as an abortion. And it's so horrible to women who've suffered miscarriages,
yeah.
multiple miscarriages, or ectopic pregnancies to suggest there's anything the same about
It's almost like they don't like women. They have no respect for women or their intelligence, and they just want to terrify women for their own political gain.
Well, also, they're suggesting it was a choice.
Well, yes. Thank you.
Right?
But you look at Twitter. You look at – these are all people who are verified, by the way, who have, like, bylines
places. And doctors.
Yeah. If a woman dies because of her ectopic pregnancy when untreated, can her family sue the Supreme Court? Abortion access saves lives. I very nearly lost my life due to a ruptured ectopic pregnancy. Pregnancy is precarious. And on and on and on it goes. My friend who had an abortion many years ago due to an ectopic pregnancy would most likely be dead in today's America. How many women do they intend to kill with forced births?
It is so evil what they do to women, how they manipulate them and gaslight them and lie to them.
Yeah.
And it's all for what? For what? What the Supreme Court did was simply turn this back to the states. If you're this mad about it, don't lie to women. Call your representatives. You know, start an organization, killbabies.com, whatever. But the idea that they're going to try to scare the American public and lie to women, this is what's going to cost lives.
Yeah.
Again, because as I've said, women are not going to seek treatment for these conditions, very legitimate medical conditions that happen to millions of women every year. And they're going to scare women away from treatment.
It's disgusting. It's despicable. And we've just hit the tip of the iceberg. Wait till you hear what else we got yesterday in this hysterical histrionic, evil reaction to the Roe v. Wade, to the Dobbs decision, I should say. That's coming up in a moment. First at 6:15, WMA.
On the next Vince Colanese show, why is the left so miserable? An expert has assessed and has the answers. Join us 3 to 6 right here on WMAL.
This, Julie Gundlach, is the mayor of the great city of Chicago, Illinois, Lori Lightfoot. This isn't a concert. This is a public stage in the middle of the day on a Saturday afternoon as families are enjoying the beautiful, and it is a beautiful city, Chicago is. And here's your mayor, Lori Lightfoot.
With the Supreme Court yesterday. And if you read Clarence Thomas' concurrence, he said, thank you, Clarence Thomas.
Oh, you, Clarence Thomas!
He thinks that we are going to stand idly by when they take our rights.
Isn't she a lesbian? Is she? I'm not sure how this might affect her directly with her lack of sexual intercourse with men. I know I'm old fashioned.
Science.
I know.
Science,
listen.
Larry.
I guess it could be.
Follow the science, Larry.
Maybe, I guess Lori Lightfoot is going to start dating Leah Thomas.
Anybody can have a baby these days.
All right.
But just, can we also just talk about how graceful she is? How.
Well, we finally purged the White House of that uncivil monster, Donald Trump, who tweeted mean things. And now we've gone back to the civility of American politics.
I mean, we get confefe and people are losing their minds. But this is totally fine.
He dumped goldfish food into the pond.
He walked really slowly down a ramp. Kill him.
But meanwhile, we get, you know, F. Clarence Thomas while children are picnicking in the middle of. But that's just Chicago, man. Okay, that's Lori Lightfoot. Her intellectual twin, Wanda Sykes, comedian, also a lesbian. The lesbians are really angry.
They are.
On Stephen Colbert's show.
How are you doing?
I'm a black gay woman and I have a daughter, so I'm not doing so well right now.
What?
By the way, that's very Catholic Stephen Colbert by the way.
Yeah.
Very, very devout practice. Ask him anytime. He'll tell you. He loves talking to the priests about things like gay marriage. All right, a little bit more of Wanda.
You're a little salty?
I'm a little salty right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll sprinkle a little salt.
Yeah.
Let's put some flavor on here.
It just sucks, man. It really does. I mean, you know, it's like the country, it's no longer a democracy, right? I mean, it's no longer majority rule.
All right, let's just be clear here. Overturning Roe v. Wade with the Dobbs decision has now taken this very important and emotional issue, and it's put it in the hands of the voters to decide on a state-by-state basis. And for the last 50 years, nobody in our democracy, quote unquote, has been able to actually vote about this issue.
Right.
We're not allowed to say a damn thing because judges in black robes 50 years ago decided for us. The Roe v. Wade decision was the antithesis of democracy.
Yeah, look,
now we actually have a democratic process in place on this issue, and they continue to lie.
Look, I know that Judge Alito cannot in any way match the intellectual heft of Wanda Sykes.
Wanda Sykes.
It's interesting. Colbert just agreeing, shaking his head. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of sort of self-professed Catholics out there in the media and entertainment who love to throw that around and talk about how they're really an evolved Catholic and you know, having a lot of sympathy with, you know, angry lesbians about this issue.
Yeah, and my biggest quarrel, honestly, with all this hypocrisy, all the lying, all the gaslighting of America, is that there's not one person sitting in the writer's room at the Stephen Colbert show who said, hey, we're going to address the abortion issue tonight. Okay, not a lot of comedy there, but I get it. Okay, so fine. You know what? I've got an idea. Let's have Patricia Heaton on the show. Let's have she's a major Hollywood star who is pro-life.
Yep.
So maybe we have somebody else, someone loved and respected, who has a different perspective on that. Nope. Let's go with Wanda Sykes, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
All right, a little bit more. We haven't even gotten to Whoopi Goldberg yet, but we will next at 6:22. See, this is one of those really tough moments. We've got too much crazy from The View yesterday.
I know.
between Whoopi and Joy and Sunny and just all of them.
So we're gonna
make you wait for it. Well, we'll get to it around 6:45 with The View because there's other stuff to get to. Let's start with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Speaking of crazy,
I just thought we would calm down a little, but no.
There's a little bit more here. She wants to impeach Supreme Court justices.
I believe lying under oath is an impeachable offense. I believe that violating federal law in not disclosing income from political organizations, as Clarence Thomas did years ago, is also potentially an impeachable offense. I believe that that not recusing from cases that one clearly has family members involved in.
I mean, where do we start?
I think elected officials who have vocal fry is also an impeachable offense.
And up talking combined, that makes it pretty bad.
Valley girl.
This whole narrative that the justices lied under oath because they didn't reveal that they would overturn Roe v. Wade. This is probably, again, I mean, add it to the despicable lies that are mounting here. But it's a lie. It's absolutely a distortion, and it's meant to anger people. It's meant to it's meant to delegitimize the Supreme Court and the process involved here. They love the Supreme Court until the moment it actually goes in a direction they don't like it, and now they want to delegitimize the entire institution.
But it's more than that. It is a way that she is signaling, she's making it personal. These justices lied, right? They came to a different conclusion. They ruled in a way that I don't agree with. No, she's suggesting like nefarious motives here, like that they lied during their nomination. And I think that is another way of sort of dehumanizing people. Yeah. It's dangerous. It's provocative what she said.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, when being confirmed in 1993, said, and I'm quoting, "It would be wrong for me to say or preview in this legislative chamber how I would cast my vote on questions the Supreme Court may be called upon to decide. A judge sworn to decide impartially can offer no forecasts, no hints, for that would show not only disregard for the specifics of the particular case, it would display disdain for the entire judicial process. And since then, every single nominee to the Supreme Court has echoed the same sentiments. Not one of these justices forecast one way or the other. All they said, if they conferred anything, they said, well, yes, Roe v. Wade is precedent. That's absolutely. So was Jim Crow. Jim Crow was precedent, too, until it wasn't. And now Roe v. Wade isn't. It's 6:30.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington, a Cumulus Media station.
Making sense of the news.
News Talk 105.9.
Now.
On News Talk 105.9, WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
6:37 here on a very busy Tuesday morning. I don't know if you've noticed, but the news cycle is pretty crowded these days. But we got you covered as you make your way to work or wherever you're going this morning. It's 7:05. Alexandra DeSantis of National Review, brand new book debuting today. It's called Tearing Us Apart, How Abortion Harms Everything and Solves Nothing. 7:35, Robin Ficker running for governor in Maryland. 7:45, Ken Klukowski, our old friend and guest here on Legal Matters, is now part of Liz Cheney's evidence in the January 6th committee, and he's fighting mad. 8:05, Jeremy Dice, First Liberty Institute. Jeremy just won at the Supreme Court, representing that coach who prayed after football games. 8:15, Miranda Devine on the laptop from hell. And at 8:35, Rebecca Kessling. She is a pro-life advocate and the child of rape, and she wants to tell her story, and we're going to let her be heard.
Julie
Gunlock is with us also, Julie, and Miranda Devine's not the only one covering the laptop from hell. Our next guest, Andrew Kerr, investigative reporter for Washington Examiner, has done quite a bit in recent weeks uncovering some tawdry and potentially illegal happenings that are evidenced right there in black and white on this laptop. Andrew, thanks for joining us, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Larry.
Now, this latest story that you've got appears to show Joe Biden wiring money on demand. When Hunter Biden needs it, he sends it to him. And then, coincidentally, Hunter Biden then immediately has a transaction with a Russian or Eastern European-based prostitution ring. This is a direct connection of Joe Biden's money involved in illegal activities, is it not?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. The amount of money that Joe Biden was sending Hunter in late 2018, early 2019 is substantial. He wired a combined $100,000 in just a 2 month period to Hunter Biden, and this was a time frame where Hunter was effectively broke. He owed $37,000 a month in alimony payments. His bank account was in the negative many times during this time period. And in one instance, he complained to his sister-in-law that he couldn't even afford to rent a pair of skis to go skiing with his friends because he didn't have a dime to his name. Yet he was still able to spend over $30,000 on escorts, many who were linked to Russian email addresses and bank accounts that worked for an escort agency. And so, yeah, it was effectively financed by his father.
And Andrew, please forgive me, correct me if I'm wrong. You have a much better working relationship with all these text messages than I do. But as I purviewed them, I never got the sense, implicitly or explicitly, that Hunter Biden was sort of asking for a gift from his father or asking for a favor or anything like that. There was almost this implied, you know, hey, I need the money. Can you wire it to me? As if Joe Biden was either in charge of or a custodian of Hunter Biden's money, or in some way this money was commingled. We know they had bank accounts that they shared. And again, am I wrong, or did Hunter actually say, oh, Dad, I need the money. Please give it to me as a gift?
So there's three transfers that we know of that add up to $100,000. Two of them, I think it's accurate to say that, you know, what we can see from the communications is that Hunter's just like, hey, can you wire me the money? But the first one, which is a $75,000 transfer in December of 2018, Hunter actually talks to his father. He's saying, like, hey, I'm really sorry for having to even ask this of you. I feel bad. This is the first time in your life that you've been able to build up a nest egg. And Joe's just saying, hey, it's all right. I guess it gets easier to ask for money the more time you do, the more often you do it.
Right.
So maybe that's what's going on here.
You know, I have to ask. I mean, I have three kids, and sometimes they ask me for money, and boy, do I put them through the ringer asking for specifics. What do you need it for? Was there any curiosity? I mean, Hunter Biden had a known drug problem too, his father and other major problems. Was there any curiosity on the part of Joe about, like, hey, what is this for? I know he gave his dad some sort of excuse, but was there further digging? Was there any kind of indication of, I'm giving you a lot of money here, what is this for, and are you okay? I mean, I'm just kind of looking for that sort of fatherly concern.
Yeah, so one instance when Joe Biden wired $75,000 to Hunter Biden, Hunter said it was to help him pay for his alimony and his kids' expenses and everything. But there's one instance in early January where Hunter convinces Joe to wire him $20,000 to attend the New York City drug rehab program. And in justifying this request, Hunter actually says to his father, hey, don't listen to members of the family that are calling you my enabler. And Joe Biden then texts Hunter and says, hey, okay, I'm sending over the 20 today. 3 hours after Joe Biden committed to sending his son $20,000 to attend the New York City drug rehab program, Hunter bailed on those plans and then was making plans to go up to Boston, Massachusetts to stay at a cottage lived by his shady psychiatrist, Keith Ablo. So, you know, the time frame there is just extraordinary. It's a 3-hour gap between Joe committing to wire the funds for a specific purpose and then Hunter acknowledging that he's going to receive those funds and then just bailing on those plans.
Wow. Yeah, the plans to go to a rehab center. Andrew Kurz, our guest, investigative reporter at The Examiner. There's also a video of him sort of interrogating one of these prostitutes, a very young-looking escort from this Russian Eastern European prostitution ring. And he keeps asking this young woman, you know, I never touched you in a bad way. I only touched you when you gave me permission. It's almost like as a lawyer, he's sort of trying to document evidence to cover himself from something that he did. I mean, again, I'm speculating here, but it looks as though he may have been abusive to her. And he's trying now to get this is, by the way, after assuring that he would give her more money, if I remember right. Again, Andrew, correct anything I'm saying that's incorrect here.
Yeah, no, that's correct. Yeah, the timeline here is that we can see in the text message threads that Hunter is speaking to a woman in his contacts named Eva, who kind of like set him up with these escorts. And she, just a few hours prior, had directed him to wire funds to a Russian email linked bank account. And you know, also just 2.5 hours before this event was filmed, Joe Biden actually wired $5,000 to Hunter.
Wow.
As far as the context, and Hunter actually says that, hey, I'm sorry that it took you so long to wire you $10,000 to this escort. You know, his father had given him $5,000 just hours before that happened.
Right.
It's pretty extraordinary.
So this money clearly went directly to the escort service, but he keeps saying, you know, I didn't hurt you. I didn't touch you in any way that was bad or anything like that. I treat you nice. Right. It almost sounds like he's trying to make a cover his butt, you know?
And Andrew, just a sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, as far as the context of the video, we just have text messages showing that, you know, this this person Eva is directing to make payments. Hunter's saying that he's making the payments, and then he all of a sudden he just texts Eva, "She's crazy. Have I ever been anything but respectful?" Mm-hmm. And then he sends her that video. So I do get the impression mm-hmm. that he's trying to, you know, like maybe, you know, a lawyerly instinct to get this on camera to, you know, show that there's nothing, you know. Yeah, that physically happened here.
Right.
Super quick, Andrew. Has there been any? Has anyone checked on the status of that young girl in that video? You know, Russia is a hub for human trafficking. I mean, they're rated tier 3, which is the worst by the State Department as far as human trafficking. Is any curiosity on from human rights groups about this young girl that was videotaped?
We did reach out to the escort agency. We have not talked directly with that person. Right. It's challenging because, you know, they were using fake names for these women.
Yeah, of
like,
course.
So Hunter, when he was requesting their services, for lack of a better word, they were using distinctly American names. Mm-hmm. But when it came time to pay, they were using distinct, you know, wire funds to accounts owned by distinctly, you know, Eastern European you know, names. But we don't even know if those are their real names. You know, just
right. Yeah. The all right. We got to leave it there. Andrew Kerr, this is a big story and it keeps getting bigger, much because of your work and Jerry Dunleavy's work over the Washington Examiner. I appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
You bet. We've got more with Miranda Devine of The Post on this story, too, coming up in a bit. Right now it's 6:46, so let's get started. Yeah, crazy is being generous when you describe what happened on The View yesterday. We expected the reaction to the Dobbs decision to be hysterical, and it was.
Well, you better hope that they don't come for you, Clarence, and say you should not be married to your wife, who happens to be white, because they will move that. And you better hope that nobody says, you know, well, you're not in the Constitution. You're back to being a quarter
We're
of a person.
We're back to the 50s.
Because that's not going to work.
Yeah, either. They're a little angry there. You better hope they don't come for you, talking about interracial marriage. Of course, well, she satisfied her interracial marriage problems by having her boyfriend Ted Danson show up in blackface.
That's so right.
That solved that
right.
problem.
Larry, it didn't sound like the studio.
No. Now, this is interesting. They were doing – this was already pre-planned. They were celebrating their 25th season on The View. Good God. Aren't we better off a quarter of a century later with The View on the
God.
Air? And they were doing a live remote from a resort in the Bahamas.
Huh.
So you got all of these privileged rich women wearing their sunglasses on set in the Bahamas talking about how horrible America is because of the abortion
right.
laws. But here's the interesting thing. You realize, of course, abortion is legal in America. It just depends
right.
on what state you're in with
That's
regard
right.
to what restrictions
yeah.
might be on it. But in terms of federal law, there is no federal law banning abortion in America.
Right.
Unlike the Bahamas, where... the country, the host country where they were sitting there screaming about America and how horrible America is, the country they were sitting in actually has a federal law against abortion.
Well, how about that?
So let's hope.
It was nice of them to spend all that money in the Bahamas, a country that hates women.
Right.
Right?
Let's hope Whoopi and Joy don't go out on a bender tonight, you
how
know, and
stupid
drink
they?
A little bit too much rum. One thing leads to another, you know. Then what are they going to do? Those two ladies. Maybe that's not really a problem. Anna Navarro, you'll remember, last we checked with her, she was saying
the eugenicist.
She was channeling her inner Margaret Sanger and saying that those imperfect children with Down syndrome and autism maybe would be better off never being born. She doubled down on it.
Let me tell, but that also brings up another point,
yeah,
which is that Arkansas and so many of the states that have trigger laws ready and that are banning a woman's choice have the worst social services.
Yes.
In America.
Always.
Yes. And so if you are, and look, this is a difficult conversation,
yeah,
and I know some people feel that we shouldn't be talking about social services, we shouldn't be talking about special needs families, that we shouldn't be talking about adoption and foster care and those special services that are needed in this same conversation. I disagree.
Yeah, I wonder what.
No, Anna. It's not that we shouldn't be talking about special needs children it's that we shouldn't be talking about killing special needs children because they're an inconvenience. And especially, Anna, you probably shouldn't say that about your own brother, your own niece. This woman, I mean, talk about awkward Christmas coming up.
Or my favorite is the step-grandchildren. Yes. She just married Al Cardenas. She just married into this family. And the brand new step-grandma looks at them and, boy, they were better off never being born.
You are such a pain in my buttocks.
By the way, if we're going to start killing people with mental disability,
I know. Yeah.
Anna Navarro.
Yeah, I get it.
And Al Cardenas. I mean, the two of them together.
Jeez.
Let's hope they're not.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.